This morning we looked at a passage of Scripture found in Luke chapter 6, from the 20th to the 26th verse, and spoke about the value system of the Lord versus that of the world, and how that our choices should always be for Lord Jesus Christ. And we gave a couple examples from the Scripture of those who made good decisions. We noted Joshua and his determination that he would continue to serve the Lord, and also Moses when he chose rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. They're quoting in or citing Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight I want to continue with that same theme, but I want to look at another text, and then maybe a couple others beside, and then maybe we'll conclude the service. Yesterday when I went to Big Harpeth to worship with the saints there, it was after lunch, and of course you can imagine people are, you know, full and they're a little bit tired, and it was the third meeting that they had in 2 days. And anyway, Brother Ricky Harkrow made a statement. He actually recounted something that that happened early on in his ministry. When he was very young, he had very young children. He was approaching an afternoon service, and he asked his daughter, who was very young, said, "Well, what do you think I should preach about this afternoon?" And she said, "I think you ought to preach about 5 minutes." And so, anyway, I want to bear that in mind. I'm not going to preach 5 minutes, maybe 10. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, pray for me. I told Brother Jeff earlier today that my studies this past week have been, I've labored, I've toiled, and I have really had great difficulty trying to organize my thoughts. And you know, this morning's message, you know, if it was anything beneficial, it was all the grace of God. It was the Lord blessing. And I beg and interest in your prayers tonight that God would bless again this evening if it is His pleasure. Luke chapter 10, we want to look at another choice that was made by one of God's saints. And there's a distinction between the choice that that two different disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ made. I want to read the passage here under consideration, verses 38 through the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 10, begin reading at verse 38. "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now, again, we want to reemphasize making good choices, making wise choices. Let me introduce you to Martha and Mary. They also have a brother named Lazarus, which is not mentioned here. He's mentioned actually in John chapter 11. But in John chapter 11, we learn something about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus that we don't see here. But it certainly, I think we could say, is implied if we have a fairly good understanding of Scripture. And that is that the Lord loved these two sisters. He loved Lazarus, and he loved Mary and Martha. Okay, I want you to bear that in mind as we look at this text. The second thing I want you to bear in mind is that, and you know this already because you by experience have known this to be true, is that God's people, though they're born again of the Spirit of God, can make some very foolish choices. Amen? We can make some really bad choices in life. Does it mean that we are not children of God? Does it mean that we're going to lose our salvation? Does it mean that we're just as ungodly as the day is long? It just means that we've made some bad choices we need to repent of those and come back and serve the Lord. Here we have two different individuals. Both of them are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them, I have no doubt, love the Lord Jesus Christ. But one makes a good choice and one doesn't. Okay? And I'll explain why the one doesn't make a good choice. Now, again, he says that he came unto a certain village, which we know to be Bethany, because we've read John chapter 11. We know where Martha lives. And he comes to Bethany, and there in Bethany, there's a woman named Martha who has a house. And it is in this house that the Lord comes to be entertained. And He doesn't come to be served. He doesn't come to be ministered unto. He doesn't come to sit there and let everybody kind of come around and serve Him. He's actually there for their benefit. And don't you believe that? You know, if we remember Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, you know, the Lord said there, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. All right, so the Lord came to minister to others. So when He comes to Martha's house, He didn't come there so that Martha could just open up her house, you know, and give Him just whatever lay there at her disposal. He came there to be a benefit to serve them. All right, but anyway, He comes to Martha's house, and Martha, no doubt in my mind, she understands that she has a very distinguished guest. Can you imagine the Lord saying, I'm coming to your house? Remember over later on in Luke chapter 19, He looks up into the tree and sees Zacchaeus there in the tree. And He says, you know, come down, Zacchaeus, for I am to abide in your house this day, you know, all that sort of thing. Can you imagine you're the one whom the Lord says, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to stay there a little while? Can you imagine what you would be thinking at that point, when the Lord says, I'm coming to your house? You're thinking about all the things that need to be put in the closet. You're thinking about, what kind of food do I have in the pantry? What do I have in the freezer? What can I thaw out real quick? What can I prepare? You know, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, your mind is just going 90 to nothing about what you can do to make the Lord's day as comfortable as you possibly can. Now that is a noble endeavor. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, the Scriptures teach us in Romans chapter 12, for instance, that we are to be given to hospitality. And in another place, Hebrews chapter 13, I think it is, about maybe verse 1 or verse 2, that we're not to be forgetful to entertain strangers. I mean, we are to be given to hospitality. We are to always be ready to open up our home to anyone that would come along the way and to entertain them, to be hospitable to them and provide them the things that they might stand in need of. That's what we are to be doing. And Martha, she is being hospitable. But there's something here that Martha does that is not quite in order. Okay? She is so wrapped up in the service that she forgets the object of her service. What do you think about that? That thing just hit me a while ago when I was thinking about this. I'm like, man, that's amazing. You can be so involved in the service that you forget about the one whom you're serving. Isn't that right? I mean, you think about this for just a minute. In Revelation chapter 2, we find that the Lord commends the church at Ephesus. These people, they are as sound in doctrine as the day is long. They've had apostles, so-called, come among them, and they have proved them to be, you know, false apostles and all that sort of thing. And the Lord commends them for all these different things that they have done. Yet He has something to chide them about, to rebuke them for. And that is that they left their first love. They got so involved in service that they forgot about the one that it was all for in the first place. You can make a god out of your service. Are you hearing me this morning, this evening? You can make a god out of your service, and you can get so wrapped up and so anxious and so fretful about the service that you forget about the one whom you're supposed to be serving. Okay? And this is what Martha has done, is she has taken her focus off the Lord here, and she's got all wrapped up in the service and has forgotten, in some degree, about the Lord. Okay, so the Lord has some things to say about that here in just a minute. But I want you to notice something else about Martha. And I'm not necessarily picking on Martha. I just want us to see what her state of mind is at this time. I realize that as I preach about Martha and, you know, describe her situation, that some of you might think you're in the same boat that she's in. And perhaps you are, and if you are, and you need not be, then, you know, here's a clue here. Get out of that boat, all right, and get in the in the boat with the Lord. Anyway, be that as it may, let's, one other thing here we want to point out about Martha. And this happens to me so much that I'm ashamed even to say it. We can get caught up in serving. You get into working for the Lord. You get into the routine of serving, and sometimes you let yourself start looking around and saying, "Where's all the help?" Have y'all been there? It happens to me a lot. It happens to me a lot. For instance, I'm confessing my sins here. I can go downstairs there, you know, at lunch, and I can be sitting there and I can be washing dishes. And I can be looking around. I'm like, okay, where's everybody? I mean, everybody's, you know, having a good time. They're just rejoicing. They're having fellowship and all that sort of thing. And I'm sitting here washing dishes. Where's the help? Lord, carest thou not that I'm serving here and I'm left all alone? You ever feel that way? I don't know. I do sometimes. Well, that's the wrong place to be. And that's where Martha was. We start getting ourselves into such a, my dad would say a lather. We get ourselves so worked up about this, we get worried about everybody else, but they're not doing their part. And it's between me and the Lord. You see? It's between me and the Lord. If I'm the only one that washes dishes, and I'm the then drying them and putting them away and all this sort of thing, then so be it. This is between me and the Lord. I need not worry about what everybody else is doing. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
Okay. All right. So, Brother Shannon, get over it. And you said, and y'all said amen. All right. Anyway. Okay. That's right. Now, let's look at something else now. So, Martha, she's had about as much of this as she can stand. All right? She's had as much of this as she can stand. And she comes to the Lord. I can see her now coming. She comes out of the kitchen. She's got her apron on there. You know, she's got her towel draped over her shoulder there. And she comes huffing in there. And she doesn't address Mary. She goes, looks right at the Lord and says, "Lord, don't you care that I'm serving all alone? Get her up and tell her to get up off her backside and get in there and help me out here." That's about what she was doing. You can kind of sense the anger, the bitterness, maybe the resentment that's in her voice as we read these words, this quote that Luke provides for us. "Lord," you know, it's like, you've done, when you have taken it upon yourself to rebuke the Lord, you're in a bad place. Isn't that right? I mean, if we really sit down and think about it, and I know Martha would be out there right now, she'd be saying, "Amen." Okay, if she was here, she'd be saying amen. Whenever we take it upon ourselves, or we think that we know better than the Lord, we're in a bad place. And Martha had forgot herself. She forgot who she was. And she forgot who the Lord was. Now, there was some degree in which she knew that He was the Lord, and He could command Mary, and Mary would just do just about anything that the Lord would command her to do. And so she went right straight to the head, so to speak. But she took it upon herself, or she comes across in such a way that she's kind of above the Lord. Not a good place to be. Not a good place to be. Anyway. Now remember, she's bothered. She's hot about this. She's had it about to here with this. She's had enough. And now she's coming to vent just a little bit. Now, you're the recipient of this venting. What would you do? What would you do? I know what I would probably do, knowing my nature. I would say, put him up. Now, I wouldn't necessarily fight you, but I would certainly hold a good long debate with you. But that's not the example the Lord gives us here, is it? It's kind of like the Lord just stops what He's doing. Just even-keeled. I can almost picture my grandfather. He was very even-tempered. He didn't get angry. Now sometimes, when he was a little bit perturbed, he wore, you know, glasses later on in his life, and he would look over his glasses at you. When he did that, you knew you were in trouble. You better hush right then. You better stop whatever you're doing because you're about to see the wrath of Papa. Anyway, he was even-tempered. The Lord, He doesn't come back with the flamethrower. He just looks at Martha and says, "Martha, Martha." When He says that, I think He is expressing some intimacy between He and Martha. He doesn't look at her with disdain. He looks at her with love. And He responds according to that love. He doesn't treat her the way she has just treated Him. He doesn't reward evil with evil. He rewards evil with good. He speaks kindly and tenderly, just the way the apostle instructs Timothy and ministers like Timothy to do, that they are to be gentle and patient. And the Lord here is the perfect example of that. Martha, Martha. And He gets right to the meat of it. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. This is Martha's problem. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, it says, let me see here, in verse 40, that she was cumbered about much serving. And that word serving there, in this particular context, means the preparing and presenting of food, much serving. So the idea that I'm getting, the picture I get when I read this, along with what the Lord says to her, is she's not just trying to prepare one dish, maybe provide some sandwiches. I mean, she is trying to bring out all the stops. I mean, she's opening up the pantry and she's providing, you know, eggplant and okra and asparagus and green beans and deviled eggs and all the, you know, all these fine foods. You don't hold the same opinion as me, Brother Dewey. I can't believe it. Anyway, trying to provide all these different foods. She is really pouring out her heart to provide all these different things for the Lord and those who have come with Him. And she's now anxious about this. I'm trying to provide all this stuff.
all this stuff.
Hi. She waved at me. Anyway, he says, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're going way beyond what you need to. You're going way beyond what you need to. I want you to think of that. Think about this for just a minute. You're going way beyond what you need to. Now, he follows this up. But one thing is needful. And that's not just provide some ham sandwiches and that'll be sufficient. Nuh-uh. He goes from the serving to something that's more important than having food in my belly. Think about it now. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Martha, she's to be commended for wanting to be hospitable, but she goes too far. Somebody made the statement concerning eating earlier today about moderation. Okay? You know, I'll take a moderate amount of this and a moderate amount of that. And you know, you go through the whole buffet and you get a moderate amount of everything. No, it was a joke, actually. But anyway, but certainly it applies here. There is some moderation in this. And maybe we would want to do something like this for somebody else, like Mary, like Martha is doing here. But this isn't some ordinary guest that has just graced the house. This is the true prince of preachers. Amen? This is the preacher. This is the one whom it was prophesied of in Isaiah chapter 61. The Lord hath anointed me to preach glad tidings, and so on. And he reads that in Luke chapter 4. And this day is fulfilled in your ears. Here's the preacher. He's the preacher. And he's the one that Peter said in John chapter 6, thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? That's what Mary wanted. I want the words of eternal life. There is no other place I want to be. There is nothing else I want right now at this very moment than to hear the words of eternal life. I was thinking about this earlier this afternoon. I can almost imagine how that Mary was just eager to hear from home. Think about that. I want to hear a message from home. Remember what Paul said there in Philippians chapter 3? For our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation, if you look up in the margin of your Bible there, it says it can also be translated citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. You remember it's written of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those with him, that they were strangers and pilgrims in this land. We are regarded in the Scriptures as strangers and pilgrims in this world. This is not our home. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, wanting to hear from home. Lord, tell me what it's like. Can you imagine? Here's one who's been there. Lord, can you tell me a little bit about it? Of course, she'd never be able to comprehend what he's saying. She would never be able to fathom the glories of heaven. But oh, wouldn't you want to try? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to try? Wouldn't you desire to have an eyewitness of what it's like? Telling you what it's like. I'm convinced that the very best description that any man has ever come up with is infinitely better than that. Do you believe that, Brother Joe?
Right.
I believe that. It's infinitely better than that. We cannot indeed fathom what it's like. But Mary is sitting at the feet of the teacher, sitting at the feet of the preacher, ready to hear what he has to say. She has chosen that good part. Now let me give you an application of this. You've heard me, ever since I started preaching here, trying to, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, that I don't believe in this concept of, you know, funnel preaching. Y'all know what that is. Some of y'all don't know what that is. You're new here. But I call it funnel preaching, where God just, you know, puts a funnel on the top of your head and He pours in your head everything He wants you to say, word for word. I used to be among a people that believe that. All right? I don't believe that. I don't believe that everything that I say here behind this pulpit is what the Lord wanted me to say. But what I do believe is that the Lord burdens His ministers. Don't you believe that? He burdens His ministers with the message that He would have His people to hear at any particular given time. I believe He does that. Now, if that's true, and I believe it is, if that's true, then that means that when the minister of the gospel is standing in the pulpit delivering the message, that message is from the Lord. And when we're sitting in the pew, our heart should be that I'm about to hear a message or a word from the Lord. Remember, Mary, she sat at the feet of Jesus and heard His word. It says there in the 38th verse or 39th verse, also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. If you're here, and you're here not just to occupy a space in the pew, but you're here to hear the preaching of the gospel, then in a manner of speaking, you're here at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, hearing His word. And the Lord says, you have chosen that good part. You've chosen that good part. Now, another thought here. Martha had denied herself that good part by the choice she made. Did she not? She denied herself that good part. Now, I know that there are times that when we come here, sometimes the preaching is not very good. Okay? Let's be honest. All right? Sometimes the preaching is not all that great. Maybe most of the time. Maybe. But if you're coming here not to hear me, not to hear the preacher, but you're coming here to hear from the Lord. You're coming here with a heart yearning to hear something from the Lord. I verily believe that while I may not think I'm blessed, and a lot of others may not think I'm blessed, yet if you're coming seeking something from the lips of the Lord, if you will, something from the Lord Himself, I believe the Lord will provide you that from that message. I read just yesterday how this John Warburton, I mentioned him this morning, this book I started reading a couple days ago. He went to fill an appointment at this place, and he had a particular text in mind, and as he thought about it, oh, it was just so wonderful, you know, and it just got bigger and bigger, and it was just so full of life and light and glory, he said. Those are the words he used there to describe it. And then when he got there to preach, He could just barely stammer through the message. And I mean, once he got done, he practically ran out of the chapel and ran as fast as he could, or went as fast as he could to the place he was staying on that particular day. And all the while he's going, he's ashamed even to look up at anybody, scared that they would see him. He was ashamed at the attempt that he made. Anyway, there was a woman who followed him. And she did not give up, and finally overtook him, and then he gave up, if you will, and said, you know, what do you want? And she said that on that very day she had planned to go destroy herself in the river, and that she would not do so until after dark. And she figured, well, she'd come by this chapel, she may as well go in and spend some time in the chapel, wait for it to get dark, and then she would go and do the deed. She felt so much condemnation in her heart and soul that she was just very disturbed and wanted to end her life. Well, she goes into the chapel, and this man who is in himself believes he is just stammering and not making, you know, a good go of it as far as preaching. He doesn't believe he's fed not one single soul, that they're all ashamed of his efforts and all this sort of thing, and he's ashamed of himself. She tells this man, this same man, that what you preached was exactly what I needed. The Lord blessed that stammering message to her soul, fed her soul, and blessed her to repent of that desire to end her life. And she then had hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in a providential God. I believe in a providential God. And listen, if you're coming with a sincere desire in your heart to hear a word from the Lord, I might stammer. I may not do a good job at trying to deliver a message. And others might not think I do a very good job at it. But if you're coming not to hear me, not to be entertained by me, but coming to hear from the Lord, I believe verily that the Lord will bless you with something that will be edifying to your soul. Do you believe that? I used to have a pastor years ago who said that if you come looking for a blessing, you'll find it. And I believe that even now. If you come looking for a blessing, I'm looking for a blessing from the Lord. The Lord will give it to you. The Lord will show you. I think He will. Don't you believe that? I remember also this same preacher, shortly after I joined the church. I told you a week or so ago that I had such a desire, such an appetite for the Scriptures. I mean, every time I had an opportunity, I was in the Word. I was reading the Word. And I loved to hear preaching. I mean, I had just gobs and gobs of tapes. You know, these same tapes that I was listening to and that I was deriving such pleasure from, such joy from. I could listen to him today and I say, well, what's the big deal about that? It's sad to say, okay? But in some of those cases, I'd say, what's the big deal of that? But there was a time where those same tapes, they blessed my soul. And this pastor, I loved being around him because whether or not he spoke correctly, he was speaking about the Lord. And I wanted something from the Lord. And it was a blessing to me to be around him because he always spoke about something regarding the Lord. The Lord blessed me through that man. If you want that good part, you're earnestly desiring that good part. The Lord says, it shall not be taken away from you. It'll be given to you. Do you believe it? Let's desire it. Let's earnestly seek after it. Let us come desiring to hear from heaven. Let us come not just to occupy a space between these walls, but as we said Wednesday night, let us come into the very courts of heaven. Let us come right at the very feet of our risen Lord. And let us hear from Him. Lord, teach me. Lord, feed my soul. Lord, I need You. Have You chosen that good part? God, help us to do it. Amen.